Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father be with you all. Lamentations. It's not often we get to preach on Lamentations. In fact, my quick perusal of the three-year pericopal system suggests that if a person were to take advantage of every opportunity there is in the pericopal system to preach on Lamentations, he'd have to wait 3 years from this day, and you'd be back at the same text. There is one salvageable thing, however, and that is that it seems serendipitously appropriate that the Lamentations reading does come in the middle of summer Greek and Hebrew and Isagogics and whatever else it is that we're suffering under. Who says the Lord and his church don't have a sense of humor? More seriously, could well be that one of the reasons Lamentation only appears once in 3 years is that it's tough. Lamentations is tough. It's tough reading. It's even tougher preaching. Because it's lament. It's pain. It's suffering, it's bewilderment. And what is lamented is the devastation of God's holy mount and of his holy temple and the decimation of God's chosen people. It's almost as though the author is still picking through the rubble and stepping over corpses. Just a few days short of a month ago, it seems like a long time ago, my wife and I visited the city of Hiroshima, where the atomic bomb was dropped almost 55 years to the day. And we walked through the monuments and we walked through the museum. Blinking back tears, swallowing sobs at an intensity of destruction that is unspeakable. It is incredible. It is unbelievable. It is beyond any description. That's what Lamentations is. What makes it even worse in Lamentations is the direct and ruthless involvement of the Lord himself. Let me pick a few other verses from Lamentations just so we're doing right by the wider book. The Lord is like an enemy. It's not too often in Scripture that the Lord is called the enemy of the people. The Lord is like an enemy. He has swallowed up Israel. He has swallowed up all her palaces and destroyed her strongholds. He has multiplied mourning and lamentation for the daughter of Judah. He has laid waste his dwelling like a garden. He has destroyed his place of meeting. He has made Zion forget her appointed feasts and her Sabbaths. In his fierce anger, he has spurned both king and priest. The Lord has rejected his altar and abandoned his sanctuary. The Lord has given over to the enemy the walls of her palaces. Look, O Lord, and consider, whom have you ever treated like this? Should women eat their offspring, the children they have cared for? Should priest and prophet be killed in the sanctuary of the Lord? Young and old lie together in the dust of the streets. My young men and maidens have fallen by the sword. You have slain them. In the day of your anger, you have slaughtered them without pity. He even our text, which is much milder, still speaks of the yoke the Lord has imposed and of the Lord rejecting and causing grief and afflicting and grieving. We began by saying we get to preach on Lamentations only once in 3 years. Now we're kind of thinking we have to preach on it this once. It's not, however, as though what the Lord did should have been a complete surprise. Because among others, and there were others, Jeremiah spent the first 30 years of his life prophesying exactly this scenario. And not only prophesying it, but because of the hand of the Lord upon him, he was with prophetic eyes seeing this scenario before the corpses were even there. And he was shedding prophetic tears long before these lamentations were written. What holds our text together, however, and what makes it preachable, what makes it important to preach, given the exile and the Hiroshimas of the world, is the strong faith that as the Lord was faithful to destroy, faithful to his holiness, and faithful to his word, and faithful even to his prophet, as the Lord was faithful to destroy, so the Lord will be faithful to restore. Faithful, picking up words from the text, faithful to his steadfast love, his mercies that never come to an end, his faithfulness that is great, his salvation, his compassion, faithful, in fact, to his intent that through Israel all the families of the earth can still be blessed. Faithful, in other words, to himself. That takes an incredible depth and intensity of faith. The Lord is my portion, the writer says. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, or the Revised English Bible or New Jerusalem Bible put it even more graphically. The Lord is all I have. Therefore, I will hope in him. It's not a matter of pity. It's not a matter of any other kind of claim that the writer may feel he has on God. The point is God. The point is God purifying his people for his purpose. That gives hope. That is the only hope. And to have that hope when you're picking through rubble and stepping over corpses takes faith of major proportions. The hope, though, is that death is not final, is not all there is. It is not the last word. It is not the splat of history. Happily, as strange as this may sound, you and I have seen a destruction of greater consequences and of greater consequence than even of the exile or Hiroshima. The Son of God himself, Israel reduced to one, and himself the exile, the target. My God, why have you forsaken me? And that was for us. And in accepting that sacrifice and then calling the Lord from the grave to life, God has given life, life eternal to us who hope in him. And not just life eternal like we have to wait for it when we die, life eternal like now, in our sufferings, in our exiles, in our Hiroshimas. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his passions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. These words of lamentation, spoken first in suffering among the corpses in the rubble, take on a new life. They form also our praise, right? They form our worship. They form what you say when the suffering is over, too. They form our testimony. They form our witness. They form our invitation. They form our outreach. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good. It is good to wait quietly.